In the early 1990s, Matilde de la Sierra served as the doctor for a poor Mayan village in Guatemala. It was important work, but the Guatemalan government considered such activity subversive. And so, on a January night in 1994, two soldiers accosted Matilde and raped and tortured her. For her own safety, she fled her country and ended up in a refugee center in Chicago, where she met an American volunteer named Jim Manzardo. Jim took a liking to Matilde, but at that point she believed that love had been taken away from her forever, as the horrors of that January night stayed with her.
I wanted them to kill me after they did all those things to me. I asked them that night, I remember, and one of them said, "No, we are not going to kill you because that is not the order." After that, I was like, I don't want anybody close to me, women, men, nobody. I just wanted to be by myself. I felt like a dirty woman, that I was a garbage. Who can love a woman who is very dirty and is like nothing? So to me was like, what is love? It's something unreal. Love doesn't exist. It's just a word.
The first few times that I saw Matilde was a couple times I tutored kids in a dining room, and I remember going down there and sort of seeing Matilde in the distance and wondering if I would get to tutor her and sort of being jealous of the person that did get to tutor her. I didn't know anything about her story, but I just could imagine that her story was a difficult one. I really tried to make her laugh.
I remember once he gave me a bunny, stuffed animal, and he appeared in the door of my room and he just showed the bunny. And
whenever she smiled, her face lit up.
Seemed to me was very easy to do it in front of him. To me was, wow, I am laughing. My first time in many, many months.
One of the first times that we actually had a conversation together, just the two of us, I asked her how old she was. And at the time, she was 33. And she said she was 40. And I looked at her and I said, my gosh, how is it that she's 40 years old? She really looks good for her age. And then she didn't say anything else. She just sort of said, I'm 40 years old.
And that way, I was older than him, and that was like too much for him. There was a point that I say, well, it's okay if I have a friend, a person that I can talk to, but no more than that.
In January of 97, Matilde moved back to Arizona. That's where she came into the States, was through Arizona. So the night before she went back to Arizona, we were together in my car. I asked her if we could be more than friends, and she said, no, there's another man. I was like, who could this man be? I've never heard her talk about another man.
So yes, I say there is another man, and that way maybe he could be out of my life, just being a friend, and that's it.
A lot of people that I knew said, well, you know, it's pretty clear that she's not really interested. You know, maybe you should just kind of let go and just be a friend. But something inside of me said no. And I think her sharing with me about Guatemala, well, I remember one day we were sitting in the garden and she used, we always spoke in Spanish together, and she used a word, violada, which in my mind I was like, okay, violated. She said she was violated. And I didn't connect right away what she meant. And I went and looked it up in the dictionary, and that's the Spanish word for rape. And of course, it helped me in a big way also to understand her not wanting me to get too close to her, or her not wanting us to be more than friends. When Matilde moved to Arizona, she was hoping that she would be there for a short time and then she would go and work in Peru in a mission as a doctor. None of that really came true, and she ended up bussing tables in a casino restaurant.
It was a hard time for me. I was, could say, very lonely, and the work was hard for me.
And so I would call her. Some of the conversations were harder for me to listen to than others, just in terms of hearing about how she was having flashbacks and no one was there with her.
When I have a flashback, I am living the same experience that I had that night.
During my visits to her, I started realizing also that there were certain things that they call triggers. We were in a grocery store by the wine section or something, and I said something about maybe we should buy a bottle of wine. Then she just sort of went frozen, just sort of had to lean up against one of the freezers or something, and afterwards she told me that the two men had been drinking. One evening we went outside. It was a beautiful Arizona evening in January, and we sort of put a blanket on the grass and we just kind of laid down to look up at the stars, and there was a full moon. And we had to turn and look in a different way because it was the night of her torture. There was a full moon. It's almost like I had a sense meeting her early on, even though she was so timid and so shy, that there was a hidden strength in her. I think that's what drove me to continue calling her, to go out to Arizona and visit her. After Matilde had been out in Arizona for a year and 2 months, nothing was materializing. So she came back. Well, she came back on March 17th. On April 4th, she was at my apartment. Yeah, we were sitting on the couch, just talking. And then I just leaned over and gave Matilde a kiss, and she didn't resist. And she kissed me back. That kiss was definitely the beginning of us being together.
One of the ways that I found that love exists was when Jim told me that he wanted to carry my painful love with me. There are people that is telling me, oh, forget about your past, now just live your present. And I could not do that. My past is my present. The fact that I continue having flashbacks and I really miss my country and my people, my Mayan people. But he's with me. He's not like running, no.
There have been times where it's been very difficult, sharing many, many, many tears with Matilde. But there's also been like tremendous joy.
For him, my past wasn't a limitation to love me. Yes, he loves me.
Jim and Matilde were married in June of 1999.